Psalm 90, a psalm of Moses. And as you go there, I just want to share a few precious thoughts the Lord has been. Before we dive into Psalm 90, I just want to make mention of this. I don't intend to say anything more about the entire time. I have like a few copies, a few copies of these two books, and they'll be in the back at the end along with some dive-ins. So, this can be of use to you. But really, what I wanted to mention was, if there we go, I find it two things that are different from last time, and I do ask you to take, please, even if you don't want to look at the book, please take one of these. We have... So please grab one of these, unless you just want to keep having a prayer card with no sage. But I'll tell you, cuteness in the family, because now I only make up a quarter of this picture, whereas before I was a third. So please, get one of those. And on the back, it's full of prayer requests for Bangladesh and also for our family. So I ask for you, please pray for us. I won't say much about Bangladesh today. Most of you are very aware. Secondly, there are going to be these podcast cards in the back. On the back is a QR code, FYI, that QR code is only for Apple devices. No problem, there's a website. It works on Spotify, it works on on Google Podcasts, or also YouTube, video format. But there's a weekly podcast that comes out every Monday morning. Right now I'm walking through the book of Exodus verse by verse. And so if you want to just have it's called Into Your Bible, straight scripture, and we just discuss the scriptures. The reason really for it is as we move to Bangladesh, we're cutting itinerant speaking from 12 months of the year down to about 1 month of the year. And so we want to continue to be able to pour into the lives, especially of young people. This has nothing to do with young people. This is just the Word of God. So please, I invite you to pick up one of those cards. Pick up a few if you have some friends that love to listen to the Word of God via podcast and share them with others. You're welcome to it. So they'll all be in the back after this. I think my wife will probably put it up there. They're not currently there, but they'll be there during the break. Now, when you walk through Psalm 90, you can get the heart of Moses in the sense of what is weighing heavy on him. And what's weighing heavy on him is something that should weigh very heavy on the rest of us. And I know that we hear this spoken of, but to be honest with you, every day. The brevity described in Scripture, if I look like fidgety, it's just because I'm trying to respect this camera, and I realize for you all that aren't here physically, I'm trying to be kind to you. I promise nothing that you won't, I might disappear. But I'll try to behave for a little while. You can still hear it, audio version. In the Word of God, our life is expressed in many ways. Sometimes a shadow. Sometimes a weaver's shuttle. Have you ever watched a weaver at work and that shuttle going in and out, 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 in and out? Well, that's actually a very appropriate definition because I don't know if you realize it. Second, every single second on earth. This is about the death rate going on. People are dying every slap. I know, it's intense. And if I keep going, you say, you can stop. I get the illustration. No, do you get the illustration that people are dying? Most of those are hellbound. You get that? And what are we doing? Now, we're going to see the preciousness of life. And that's exactly what Moses wants to communicate. It's described in many other ways, too. It's described as a mist, a vapor. And we see that also over in James chapter 4, the brother of Jesus. So all the way through Scripture, we see life is short. But there's something in Psalm 90 that really has people I encounter. I mean, you older people, you do. In fact, my parents this week, Priyanka and I were over at their house, and then they told us about how they went and adjusted and redid some things on their will. And one of the things they were doing on their will was preparing their funeral arrangements. That's the first time I've had that with my parents, their funeral arrangements. Now, they're 65 and 64. You might say that's not old. But again, what's the point? The point is they recognize probably 20 years is above bonus. 30 is way above. And again, nothing's guaranteed about tomorrow. We could all give stories about those. But you know, even that discussion doesn't bother me because I actually have my parents forever, praise God, because of the Lord Jesus. But there is a practical lesson, so practical. Or just ignorance, it's not going to be. So I'll help those who sleep, wake you up. For you who want to be ignorant of it, I can't help you. So that's worse than sleep. But eyes closed, I'm coming to you all the way to the back row. I see you clearly. Got great eyesight still at 38 years old. Psalm 90, let's read some verses. Beginning in verse 1, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. If you read the paraphrase version of the message, it says, from once upon a time to ever God. I don't quote that very often, but in that case, I do just enjoy the imagery being painted there by Moses. Verse 3, you return man to dust and say, return, O children of man, for 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. And there's some more descriptions of the brevity of our years. You sweep them away as they are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes, it is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger, by your wrath. We are iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end. Get this. Right now, none of you could imitate a mist. Well, I guess you could spit or something, but that would not be appropriate for right now. These weavers' shuttle would be tough, but you know what we all can do? We can all do a sigh. At whatever your pace is, just sigh. Doesn't take long. Think about it. I know it might seem funny sighing in church intentionally. Many a person has attended a local church on a Sunday morning and died on their way home. Life is but a sigh. Go on, though. It says in verse 10, the years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They're soon gone and we fly away. Verse 11, who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? Verse 12 is where we're going to camp out. Memorize, watch out. Don't let familiarity be a weapon used against you this morning. So let's act as though you've never read this verse in your whole life. First time you're hearing Psalm 90, verse 12. So let's read it as though it is brand new to our hearts. Here it is. So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Let's pray. Father, we have 12 minutes to discuss this verse. Open our hearts, our minds, and use these 12 minutes to flip our life upside down so we can never be the same again at 10:30 this morning. We pray this because it's only possible through your power, and we pray that Jesus Christ gets all the glory. In his name we pray, amen. A few things. One thing I want to mention before we look at three things about giving account, or specifically numbering our days. Did you notice it says number our days? That's a very interesting word. And when I say interesting. I'll explain it in a PG context, okay? So here we go. Know. That word teach is to know. Teach us to know our days. And the word used for know in Hebrew is the word yada. Now, any of you that have studied not just Hebrew, you just study your Bibles and you look up Hebrew words occasionally, you've seen yada. Yada comes up a lot. To know. But you know, the first time that word is used, it's actually Genesis chapter 4. And it goes like this. And Adam knew Eve, and they bore a son. That was my PG part. The rest of you know what know means in that verse. There's an intimacy involved. Now, hang on. That's important. Because what's Moses saying? He's saying, teach us to know. What's he saying? He's saying, intimately know. God. An intimate knowledge of our days. I mean, intensely intimate. As intimate of a knowing in Scripture as you're going to get. Know the Lord. Chapter 2, verse 25. God hears the cries of the children of Israel. And the last line of chapter 2 is, and God knew. God yada. So what does that mean? Because let's just be honest. How many of us intimately know our days? All right, let me ask you a question. I don't want you to answer out loud, but I want you to be genuinely honest. And afterward, unless you're one of like two people in this room that I've already maybe talked about this with, I'm going to come up and ask you about it. So you don't raise your hand unless you're ready to give me, what is your, do you have an intentional process every day of giving account for the day you just lived? I want to know what that intentional process is so I can write it and learn from you. Do you have an intentional process of giving account for your day when your day comes to an end, or an intentional process of preparing for your day when you get up? Intentional. I mean, you're in the light of this verse, you're preparing. If you do, I genuinely want you to raise your hand because I'm excited to come and get it from you afterward. Now, that's okay if you don't. But after this morning, I want to challenge each of you. Seriously, please, please take this seriously. This is not my idea. We're going to see this in the Word of God in three different ways in this verse. This is God's idea. And he speaks it through Moses. He says, you got to give account. But what is it? It says number. Well, I've already used the word account a couple times, so you're going to guess that account's going to be in there. But hang on. When I think about numbering, I tend to think about my... Because all of us can hear slightly now. But numbering is interesting. About probably a year and a half ago, when she was like a one and change, okay? I asked her one time, I don't even know why I asked her, I said, come out. But I said, hey, Haven, how much do you love me? But back then, what she would just do is throw out anything in order. She says, Dad, I love you. Number I could ever hear. 1-6-18-69. Oh, what a great number. That's how much my daughter loves me. You know, I think about numbers, but in this verse, that's not the numbering it's talking about. It's not saying, hey, you should know how many days you're going to live. First of all, you know, he does say 70 or by reason it's 80. That's great. But that's not what the word is saying. It's not saying, hey, number your days. You got 70 years. It's way more than that, not less. Three things I want you to look at in 8 minutes. And here we go. So we're flying. If you're really seriously about doing something about the end, I encourage you, either take phenomenal mental notes, get your phone out, I might come and check, make sure you're on your notepad, nothing else, or get a pen and paper. Three things, past, present, and future. All three are going to be important. The first thing we learn about numbering our days is this. It's the word to appoint. Appoint. So we future. We're going to go future, present, past. Appoint. Number literally means to appoint. Teach us to appoint our days. Appoint, appoint, appoint. Get that in your mind. Now, why is that significant? Well, we all make appointments every day. Now, maybe some of us make loads of intentional appointments. I know sometimes I'd have up to like 10 specific meetings, and each one was, I mean, on the minute. And a lot of times at the same location, so I had to get the last person out 5 minutes before the next person comes. And it's just this constant appointments. But hang on. What's it saying here? Teach us to appoint our days. I don't think it means, but I think what it's saying is to be in space. Leave space for God to work. Be led by the Holy Spirit moment by moment. But, okay, sorry. Sorry, Zoomers. Some people are getting dozy. I'm going this way. They can hear me. They're fine. Listen, appoint. I want to ask you, how intentional are you? Intentional. When you get up in the morning, to first of all, just write down the schedule that you planned yourself. And then just do a simple process and say, God, is there anything you want to change? Is there anything that you would, at this point, say, do differently? Or just say, Lord, make me sensitive to flexibility. Make me sensitive to space in my appointments. But Lord, teach us to appoint our days. So I challenge you, if you want to learn to number your days, you're going to have to learn to appoint your days according to the Holy Spirit and not appoint your days according to the flesh and the things. Because ultimately, ask your goal. What's your goal at the end of the day? Is it to be in a better financial position? Then you're going to appoint your day based on finances. If your thing is better grades in school, you're going to point your days based off of that. But the reality is, what's the glory of God? What does He desire? Whether you eat, whether you drink, or whatever you do, and that encapsulates everything, do it to the glory of God. So, teach us to appoint. Second thing, that was the future. Appoint. Present tense. Oh, this is good. And this is what the word means. It's got a massive semantic domain in Hebrew, all right? This word appoint. So here's another one. It means to approve. Teach us to approve our day. This is present tense. Moment by moment. Oh God, we want to apply our heart to wisdom. We want to apply wisdom. Okay, so I need to approve. I'm so thankful people approve things. I had to go over multiple bridges on my way here this morning. And I'm thankful that the United States has an approval process for bridges, an approval process for roads, an approval process for trucks that are out there to make sure that brakes, where you get the point, there's approval processes. Any of you where you work, where you go to school, whatever you do, your own house, many things had to be approved. That's vital. But you know what's interesting to me? This doesn't even make sense. It does not make sense to the follower of Christ, but it's true, and I don't think anybody here will debate it. We have more approval processes for the things of earth than for the things that will last for eternity. Do you approve your conversations? In other words, gossip has to leave. Dissension has to go. Do you approve that unforgiveness can never reside in your life and bitterness has no place in the life of a believer? Do you approve the things that are excellent? Do you approve repentance of your sin when you do? See, the question is, what are we approving and what are we ignoring? I want to ask, what's your intentional approval process for the relationship you're going to have? In other words, intentionally, how are you choosing to say, this is what I'm going to approve of? In other words, this is where I have the green light to move forward. Let's just go simple. Okay, hang on. I'm just going to go super simple. This is like the most middle school example. What about everything you consume on media? Social media, Netflix, Disney Plus, your television, commercials you watch, things you dwell on. What's your approval process? Teach us to approve our days. Just start anywhere. It's good. It's future. Teach us to appoint, but it's present. Teach us to approve the moments. Well, the last one, you can definitely guess, because I've already said it multiple times, and it does start with an A, of course, and that is, teach us to give account for our days. This is actually the most influential for me. I'm going to give you a very practical example of something I do almost every day, but I don't do it when I'm on the road, and you'll know why in a minute, but when you lay in bed, some of you probably do this. Do you lay in bed and ask a simple question? And the question's this. Not for condemnation, because in Christ there's no condemnation, but for conviction. Do you ask God, what would you have done differently today? What would you have done differently? How would you have spoken differently? How would you have loved differently? How would you have shown generosity differently? How would you have forgiven differently? How would you have walked differently? How would you have appointed your day differently? How would you have approved things differently? Just ask Him. And here's the crazy thing. You want to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit? It'll come at that point. And you will all of a sudden have all these random things in your day pop up. Just try it. See if I'm wrong. You'll have all these things pop up and you'll realize, wow, I didn't speak kindly to my wife at that point. I wasn't gentle to my daughter. I ignored that person that needed a conversation in McDonald's. Whatever it was. I want to challenge you. Have questions you ask when you lay it, Lord. And here's the thing. When He speaks to you, you know the benefit of it? It's, again, not condemnation. It's for tomorrow. Because when you wake up in the morning, He's taught you something about His character. And when you wake up in the morning, you're going to be excited because you'll have a little heads up on this is the way I see things. God is so gracious. And each day is a new gift. But are we learning from the day that came before? Teach us to number our days. Teach us to give account for them. Teach us to approve them. Teach us to appoint them. Closing illustration in my last minute remaining. I have this practice. I've got this jar on my desk. It's a pretty big jar. It's from Target. It's about that high, and it's filled with, not quite filled. It's got grains of rice in it. It has approximately enough grains of rice between my current age at 38 to 80 years old. You might think it's a lot of grains of rice. Don't have that long left if I live. As a practice, and again, some days I don't do it, but I do when I'm home, I take one grain of rice out of that jar when I get up, when I go to my office. And then, remember, I'm only going to get this day one time in out of eternity. That's it. And then that grain is gone forever. I'm not going to be sentimental about it. At the end of the day, I'm going to throw it out. But that grain stays with me. I put it in my pocket. I put it somewhere where I'll feel it, see it occasionally during the day. And my question is, how am I going to use this grain? How am I going to spend this one chance I have, this one day in May of 2022 that will never again in all of eternity exist? What will I do with it? My friends, we have all been given a gift of great value, and that is our days. Today. That's why the Word of God says today is the day of salvation if you're not saved. But for those of us that are saved, oh God, teach us, yada, yada, know, intimately know, teach us to yada, to know our days, that we may get a heart of our Savior. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for your word, and I do ask that you teach us as followers of you to live life in such a way where every day is invested into eternity. We don't want to waste a day. We don't want to waste a moment. But Lord, teach us. Oh, how easy it is to get sucked into the mundane moments of life and forget that this very moment is an eternal moment. Well, in this name, amen.